TV.
In the body of Christ, we are to rejoice with those who are rejoicing. Romans 12, 15. This show today is related to a topic I talked about last week, which was rewards, awards in the body of Christ, better resurrections, some ruling and reigning, some in the body of Christ not ruling and reigning. There are only a handful of people who object to there being inequality in the body of Christ. There is a certain equality in that we are all sons of God and that we are all part of the family of God. There are many things in common, and we can talk about that sometime. That would be a great topic for another show, the things that the body of Christ do have in common. But I noted, and it's important to note, how our apostle was racing for a prize. He called it a prize in Philippians. Salvation is not a prize. Salvation is a gift of God. But there's something above and beyond salvation that certain people, who Paul calls the mature, Paul says, if you are mature, you may be disposed to this. And he says this after he explains his disposition, that is, racing for the high calling above, the high calling. It's not just a calling. We are all in the body of Christ. That's one thing we have in common. We're all called. We're all designated beforehand. We're all called. We're all justified, and we're all glorified. That we all have that in common. And again, that would make a great show. But when Paul talks about a calling above, it's another calling beyond the calling that we hear in this life, proving that we were designated beforehand to be in the body of Christ. And how many times have I read the verse in 1 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 3, about the fire will test each one's work. This is at the dais of Christ to see what kind it is. Paul uses common substances as examples of work: gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. Salvation is not at stake here. And since Paul knows that that objection will come, Paul, what are you saying here? Paul says, no, everybody's going to be saved, but some will be saved as through fire. In other words, some members of the body of Christ will, and probably every single one of us, will have to have some things burned away, and it will be a relief. I asked Jim Corum one time about this. I said, is it going to hurt at the dais of Christ? You know, I have that poking curiosity of a child, the brash curiosity. Is it going to hurt? He says, no, it's not going to hurt. It's going to be a relief. It's going to be joy. It's going to be beautiful to be rid of all the things that we don't like about ourselves, that the old humanity is dragging around. So it's like, yay. But there will also be awards. This is not to say that the same person might get some things burnt off and some things rewarded. It's just, this is the way God does things. And again, as I always say, because it's a scriptural truth, there's nothing equal. There are some similarities, but God hates equality overall. I've done many shows on this, not going to talk about that today. But what I am going to talk about, I'm going to go back to our friend Aaron Seamster, who objected vociferously, and every time I mention anything about anybody getting a reward, or I mention anything about a better resurrection, star exceeds star in glory. There's one glory of the sun, Paul says, one glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, and even the stars differ in glory. Then Paul says, thus also is the resurrection. Aaron Seamster, for some reason, but I want to probe the reason. I want to play armchair psychologist here, and maybe that's not fair to Aaron, but it was a public statement, and he doubled down on it, and I'm going to read how he doubled down on it, and I think it gives us insight into something rather disturbing. And the point I want to make is, when we see people torture the scriptures, completely change the natural reading of a verse, like obviously torture it and twist it and bend it, where the normal person looks at that verse and says, that's not at all what it means. And a person like Aaron Seamster or others in the body of Christ, they make a deduction based on a scripture, and it's totally outrageous. It's like, what? Know one thing for sure at that point, is that this person has an agenda, a personal agenda, a personal issue with something they don't like. They have a personal issue with something the scripture says is true. They don't want to believe it's true. They look the other way at it. And they take obvious scriptural passages and twist the hell out of them, tie them to a chair, beat them until they say what they want them to say. Damn it. And here it came from Aaron Seamster. I shared this with you before, but I'm going to give you a second comment to prove to you that this gentleman, who I have nothing bad to say about him personally, just his scriptural interpreting skills in this department are obviously off, which tells me that there's something askance here. And again, I'm going to play armchair psychologist for better or for worse, but I'm trying to make it for better, because I think that if we see why someone would so want to change the scriptures to say something other than what it's saying, in this, on this topic of applause, of other people perhaps getting more than you, if we dig down to the motive here, it will bring us back to the verse I started with, which is Romans 12:15, be rejoicing with those rejoicing. But I fear that among a few in the body of Christ, there is a resentment, a bitterness, a grievance, even a trauma somewhere in life that hates to see others succeed, has a problem with other people getting something that they don't have. Now, I was a pretty good speller in school. I'm talking grade school. You know, I had an aptitude for literature, reading, whatever literature you study in grade school, but I could spell pretty decently. I liked to write even back then. But I lost the spelling bee every year. I came in second place every year to Kelly McCollin. Kelly McCollin beat me every single year. Well, I remember one year I lost on the word wash, because my mom, being from Mississippi, would always say, wash, bring the wash down. You have your wash ready? I'm getting ready to do the wash. So when spelling bee came, and the teacher said, I think this was third grade, fourth grade maybe, wash, I stepped up confidently to the front of the class and spelled it W-A-R-S-H. And the first place trophy goes to Kelly McCollin, who spelled it W-A-S-H, which I thought was absolutely ridiculous, but it turns out it's correct. Did I resent Kelly's success? Oh, hell yes. I resented it in the third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade, seventh grade, and eighth grade, because every single year I came in second. But now that I am a mature man, now that I am a member of the body of Christ, and the Spirit of God is flowing through my arterial network and my nervous system and massaging my organs, especially my heart and my brain, now I rejoice in the success of others. I love it. I want to see other people succeed, even where I have failed. Now, it's easy to see somebody succeed in another field. Like, I really wanted to publish a book with a mainstream publisher back when I was in my 30s. Late 20s, early 30s. Late 20s, really, because, you know, I thought that was the be-all, end-all of writing. Little did I know it would be writing a book called The First Idiot in Heaven. But back in the day, I wanted to be noted by my peers. I wanted to appear on the New York Times bestseller list. I wanted to get the Nobel Prize for Literature. At least a Pulitzer. But I didn't, and I watched other people getting it. And it's hard to watch people in your field succeed. I'm just wondering if any of the body of Christ resist this truth of awards, of rewards, of wages. Because Paul says plainly, 1 Corinthians 3, God will pay each in accord with his work. This is not salvation. No. This is an adjustment concerning works. And here's the verse. Do you remember this? I quoted this verse in show 1917. I mentioned applause. MCTV 1917. And I read 1 Corinthians 4:5. So that be not judging anything before the season, till the Lord should be coming, who will also illuminate the hidden things of darkness and manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then applause will be coming to each one from God. Who would not like this verse? Because applause comes to each one. Aaron Seamster hated this verse. Because it is his fear that someone could get more applause than someone else. Because I also insisted in this video that the Apostle Paul would have better placement in the body of Christ, would have an exalted position within the body of Christ because of his suffering, because of his work. And this would indeed fulfill his high calling. And he would get magnificent applause. And if you had an applause meter, Paul would get a little more noise. And who among us would begrudge him now? Who among us would be upset to see Paul awarded more than we, even though he worked and labored and sweated and got beaten and had his head chopped off? Doesn't he deserve a couple baubles, bangles, and beads extra? Can't we give the man a trophy? Who resents that? Aaron Seamster does, big time. Aaron wrote this in a subsequent show. When Paul said applause, he actually meant the opposite. He was directing that statement to those who thought they were big shots in Corinth. Applause, he puts it in quotation marks, was a sarcastic euphemism for exposure of pride. Oh, my God. This was, again, I gave this the bronze medal as taking third place for the most tortured verse I've ever seen, to take this word applause and to audaciously say, quote, when Paul said applause, he actually meant the opposite. Oh, he did. Paul meant the opposite, says Aaron Seamster, because this man hates applause, hates any kind of applause. And you might have to go back to his childhood to find out why, or his early adulthood. Something happened. I at first guessed that perhaps he was a communist, because we know that communists do not reward hard work. There's no motivation in the communist political system, because everything is equal. The wealth is distributed equally. And there are a few people in the body of Christ who insist that everything must be equal. And I'm starting to wonder if there's a flaw in the character of these people. I'm suggesting that it could be the case, because why would you do this to the scripture? Applause was a sarcastic euphemism for exposure of pride? There's nothing that indicates that Paul means the opposite of what he said. He actually meant the opposite. Strange, because in the same letter, 1 Corinthians 11:16-17, Paul writes this: now if anyone is presuming to be rivalrous, we have no such usage, neither the ecclesias of God. Now, in giving this charge, I am not applauding, for you are coming together not for the better, but for discomfiture. In other words, you people are screwing up. Whenever you get together, it's not to be better, it's to cause problems. And Paul says, I am not applauding. Same letter, he's using the same exact Greek word, not applauding. So I guess this means that he is applauding. Because if he says he's not applauding, it must mean the opposite in the Aaron Seamster world. Therefore, Paul is applauding that the Corinthians are coming together not for the better, but for the worse. Is that right? Well, I answered Aaron in the comments of that show where he made this outrageous remark about applause. And I said, are you still sticking with your applause means the opposite of applause interpretation? I would at least think you'd have the honesty to say, yeah, I kind of made that up. Because in a subsequent show, I exposed the ridiculousness of this interpretation. Applause was a sarcastic euphemism for exposure of pride. I pointed out that Paul had the phrase exposure of pride at his disposal, but he didn't use it. Instead, he said the opposite, applause. Each will be getting applause from God. It means just what it says. It means just what you think it does. Paul didn't mean that. It was sarcastic. I said, are you still sticking with applause means the opposite of applause? I would think at least you'd have the honesty to say, yeah, I kind of made that up. Listen to his response. He doubled down. And this has just moved up into the bronze medal place. So he just outdid himself. I don't need to change my understanding of applause in the slightest. Paul uses similar rhetoric in 1 Corinthians 11:19. Where do you hear this? In 1 Corinthians 11:19, the qualified individuals are self-righteous pricks. They are qualified in that they deserve judgment, as is shown later in the chapter, verses 31 through 32. End of quote. 1 Corinthians 11:19, he's commenting on. Let me read the verse. For it must be that there are sects among you, and we have talked about this verse many times because there are many sects among the body of Christ, many departures from the truth. It must be that there are sects among you that those who are qualified may be becoming apparent among you. And qualified means just what you think it does. Qualified. And Paul speaks of it in a positive sense, does he not? That those who are qualified, the sect will bring out the qualified person who corrects the sect, exposes the sect, rebukes the sectarian, and then entreats. That those who are qualified may be becoming apparent among you, which would be a good thing. Paul uses the word again in 2 Timothy 2:15. Endeavor to present yourself to God qualified, an unashamed worker, correctly cutting the word of truth. Qualified, same exact Greek word, same exact writer. No sarcasm implied. No rhetoric. Just a plain statement. Aaron Seamster says they are self-righteous pricks. Quote, the qualified individuals are self-righteous pricks. Let's see if that works in 2 Timothy 2:15. Endeavor to present yourself to God a self-righteous prick. Oh, a self-righteous prick deserving of judgment. Excuse me, I forgot to add that part. A self-righteous prick deserving of judgment. That's what Aaron Seamster thinks that qualified means. He thinks that if you're qualified, you're a self-righteous jerk. Paul's just being sarcastic. And when Paul says each will be getting applause, he means the opposite of applause because you're about to get judged harshly. That's what Paul really means. Oh, this man has a problem with seeing other people rewarded. And I am playing armchair psychologist, and maybe I should apologize for it, but I want us to all learn from this. When you torture verses this badly, this obviously, it's obvious for anyone on this channel to see that. It's obvious to anyone just looking over your shoulder, somebody just randomly watching this, thinking, that doesn't make any sense. There's an agenda. And the agenda is, must get rid of all accomplishment. Must get rid of anyone thinking they're doing anything extra. Must cut down anyone who thinks they're achieving. Must cut down anyone who thinks they're better than anybody else. Not that anyone getting applause would think they're better than anyone else. Paul didn't think he was better than anyone else. He just had this incentive within him via the Spirit of God to pursue the high calling, to pursue a prize. That didn't make him better than anyone else. In fact, he became the servant of all, the slave of all, and especially the slave of Christ. And who among us is not going to applaud like crazy for that guy? And you're telling me the applause meter is not going to go up a couple decibels when Paul gets to the dais of Christ? Damn right it is. And well, it should. And it's going to be even more for Christ himself. How about that? Oh, my Lord. What happened? What happened? I suggested that. I said, Aaron, are you a communist? He didn't deny it. But now I'm thinking that maybe we're getting an insight into what makes, for one, a communist-type mentality. Let's put it that way. A communist-type mentality can't stand to see a reward for work. Can't stand to see other people succeeding. Perhaps those like Aaron suffered a series of setbacks in life while watching other people succeed, and perhaps there was the beginning of some resentment against a reward system. Because free enterprise is a reward system for hard work. But those who don't want to work hard, they resent sometimes the people who do. And there's a political party called, generally speaking, the left. The left will prey on resentment, bitterness, and grievance. This is bait for the political left. And that if you feel lesser than, then those who have accomplished something must be punished. We must tax the rich because they're successful. And basically the left says, yes, your resentment is appropriate. It's right for you to feel resentment. And it's right for you to feel grieved. And we are going to make it right. How are you going to do it? We're going to punish the achievers. Will that make you feel better? Yes. Oh, yes. If I can't make it, then damn it, nobody's going to make it. Well, you vote for us and we'll punish the rich. We'll tax the hell out of them and we'll give money to people who don't deserve it. We'll take it away from the rich, from the achievers. We'll take it away from them and give it to people who haven't achieved anything. How about that? Yes, that sounds good. And it's the party of the artificially grieved, of the pity party. It's a pity party. The left is a pity party. We're going to get back at the people who have screwed you. Because, see, if you don't succeed, if things go bad for you, then you got screwed by the man. And the rich are evil. And so punishment, punishment, punishment. And yet, is this anything that ought to be in the heart of any member of the body of Christ? It's not. No. I love to see hard work rewarded. Some people get lucky. Okay, they get lucky. Somebody has a rich uncle, their rich uncle dies, and they inherit $1 million. Some people would hate those people for that. I say, good for you. Good. Who cares how you got it? Great. Fantastic. Spend it well. Spend it wisely. I can't wait to see Paul get applause at the day of Christ. I can't wait to see you, my fellow brothers and sisters, get applause. I've told many of you think that, like, you're the big toe of the body of Christ, or the little toe, or the nail on the little toe. I mean, I've heard some of you just disparage yourself so much. And what do I do when you say that to me? What do? I say, you have done so much good that you don't even realize, because you're humble. You don't take account of it. Maybe you're too humble. But you are going to get applause at the dais of Christ, and I'm going to be applauding the loudest. And I would be happy if you would take a couple of my awards, because God has made me into a generous person who likes to see other people succeed. He's made me into that. I wasn't always that, but the Spirit of God has made me into that. And with this wacko doctrine that a few members of the body of Christ adhere to, it just sounds like a leftist trap to me. It just sounds like this begrudging anybody getting more based on something they do. And it's like, okay, maybe Aaron thinks, or people like him say, okay, finally here in the body of Christ, okay, let's say theoretically somebody, not Aaron, somebody has gotten screwed in life. They haven't succeeded. Other people in their class passed them up and they just really resent the hell of it. But now they're in the body of Christ. They're like, oh my God, finally, I'm in the body of Christ now. So now nobody's going to get ahead of me. We're all equal in the body of Christ. Then you have this mentality, see, because you've been damaged somehow, somewhere, and you have this resentment built up. So then you think, finally, in the body of Christ, everything's going to be equal. Finally, I'm going to be treated with the exact respect as the Apostle Paul. I can be the biggest fuck up in the body of Christ, and I get the same applause as the Apostle Paul. I love. Then you find out, no, it doesn't work that way, not even in the body of Christ. Salvation comes to all equally, of course, but even in the body of Christ, there are rewards for service. Oh, shit, that really pisses off people who want to see the successful punished, and they think, oh, God, finally, in the body of Christ, everything's equal. They find out it's not, and then they torture verses like this. They get so upset and angry. And forgive me, this is my show, though. That's what the MZ stands for, Martin Center. And forgive me for probing this, but when something slaps me in the face like this, when somebody takes verses so obvious and whacks them out so badly, I think there's something afoot here. And everybody watched it. It was public. Everybody's watching. So I think I deserve, maybe with my name at the front of the show, I think maybe I deserve to give an opinion on it. That's only an opinion. I'm not accusing Aaron of anything. I'm not accusing anybody of anything. I'm just suggesting that, Houston, we may have a problem.